You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. We'll talk to one of my favorite players, Damian Lillard of the Blazers. I was looking at some numbers. Players with the highest percentage of their team's points this past season. James Harden with 27%. Trae Young, 23, almost 24%. Bradley Beal, 23.5%. And Damian Lillard at 22.4% of his team's points. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any interviews from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. The former rookie of the year, one of the best players in the game, Damian Lillard, joining us from the bubble. Morning, Damian. How is life in the bubble?
Good morning, man. Life in the bubble is pretty smooth. I'm not mad at it at all. I like it.
Okay. Your thoughts before you went in the bubble to now that you're in the bubble, how different are those thoughts?
I mean, before I came, my concern was more like, you know, I'm going to miss my family. You know, what is it going to be like? Before we got here, it was other teams here, and we saw, like, people was complaining about the food. So I was just like, you know, what is it going to be like? Is it going to be, you know, a bad situation? Are we able to really pull this off? And then when I got here, I was like, I mean, this is more than comfortable. Like, they provide meals. It's like a schedule that we own. Everything is flowing smooth. You know, I think the downtime is like, it reminds me of college, you know, how we go to practice, we come back, and it's almost like we just go to the dorms and, you know, you kind of see people roaming around, getting food, stuff like that. I mean, it's pretty cool to me, man. I think it's given us all some level of peace, you know, just being able to step away for a little bit.
I don't think your dorm room looked like that, though.
It did not. It was similar. Hey, at Weber State, we had some pretty nice dorms. We had a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom, you know, 4 people to them, a kitchen, a living room, and stuff like that. Even though it's not that big, we had pretty nice dorms.
What would surprise me in your room there?
I don't think nothing would really surprise you other than I got a studio set up, but that's it.
Okay, so you brought a recording studio.
I mean, I wouldn't say a recording studio. It's like I brought each thing that I needed to record my music. So I only got a mic. I got a software on my laptop. I got an interface, a microphone, like the box to power up the microphone. And that's pretty much all I needed.
Have you thought about doing a live rap performance from your room? We're seeing musicians who were, you know, they're at home and they have a concert. Would you be willing to do that?
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of being able to record when I want to and kind of do it when I feel like it, instead of being like, all right, you signed up for a concert, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want that obligation. I like it being there so I can do it when I feel like doing it.
Can you turn? Is the so-called studio within distance there of turning and showing?
It's not. I'm actually out, like, in the front part of the room.
Oh, okay. And what's the bracelet that you're wearing?
This one?
Yeah.
This one is like our, before you leave your room every day, you got to have this. It's the key to your room, actually. Whenever you go eat or purchase anything, this is how you pay for it. So, I mean, it's pretty much what's the one thing you have to have to get in and out of each door in the hotel. You got to scan it and it has to turn green before you can even proceed, I guess. So it's the one thing that, you know, is a part of everything. So
are you allowed to socialize?
Yeah.
Like you can go to teammates' rooms?
I mean, I don't think they would suggest us just hanging out in the rooms, but I've been to CJ's room. Like, he ordered some food. It was delivered up there. I went up there, grabbed the food. But, I mean, we haven't just been in each other's room. I think you'll see that more downstairs. Like, in the restaurants, you'll just see people kind of down there eating, talking. The players' lounge, people playing ping pong and stuff like that, eating together, watching TV. So I think that's as close as it gets.
We're talking to Damian Lillard, the Blazers' five-time All-Star. Who's the MVP in your opinion?
I don't think you can go wrong with LeBron or Giannis, but in my opinion, I think it's LeBron.
How come?
Just because he's the number one, they're the number one seed in the Western Conference. And I feel like he's had a dominant season to be in, what is it for him, year 17? leading the league in assists. Like I said before, number one in the West, the level that they have been playing at right before the season was suspended. You know, I don't think it should be any argument with, you know, either guy getting an award. But I would say LeBron because of how he's been able to take that team from a non-playoff team over the last however many years, and now they just jump to number one. You know, that's his impact. Obviously, you got AD there too, but, you know, I think LeBron is definitely worthy of being the MVP.
How different is LeBron now to when you first came in the league, when you faced him?
I think when I first came in the league, he was just – it's weird because he's still, like, super fast and athletic. But when I came in the league, it was like – it was unbelievable. And I think that's the biggest difference. You know, he's – obviously, he's older now. He's always been a thinker, you know, a smart player, a heady player. And now I think that's even heightened. But he's less speed and athleticism and power, I guess, and more of a cerebral, pick his spots, manipulate the game, control the game, and use his athleticism and, you know, his gifts and spurts.
A lot of people jumping on the Blazers bandwagon here, Damian. That you guys?
Yeah, I want them to stay off.
Why? You want to be sneaky? You want to be quiet, stealth?
No, I want to just let it happen. You know what I mean? I want to go out there and let our play decide it. I don't want people to start saying, "Oh, the Blazers can beat the Lakers," and the Blazers this. You know, we got a lot of work to do to even put ourselves in that position. So, you know, we don't want people giving people bulletin board material and all that type of stuff. It don't really make me no difference, but, you know, I'd much rather float under the radar and just, you know, show up and do what we got to do.
Do you have a basketball in your room?
I don't.
Jimmy Butler's dribbling the ball. I guess somebody was complaining about him dribbling the ball at early in the morning.
Man, I guess I heard that, but I mean... I don't really hear nothing. So our floor is pretty quiet. But I mean, I see a lot of people out and about when I leave my room. So, you know, pretty early, teams got meetings, they got breakfast set up for us. So it's hard for me to see somebody complaining about somebody dribbling the ball.
How are the games going to feel? You have any idea?
I really don't know. You know, I visited one of the, I guess, arenas that we're going to be playing in. And it was a nice setup. You know, you can tell they put a lot of effort into, you know, building it out and, you know, trying to make it as normal as possible. But it's definitely going to be a different feeling.
Well, I think it's going to look good on TV. I just don't know how it's going to feel, if it's going to be like
that's what I'm more. That's what I'm more thinking about, how it's going to feel, because I was actually on the court and it felt smaller. Our bench was like, seats weren't right next to each other. They were like kind of like spaced out. You know, I heard we're going to have to wear masks on the bench and stuff like that. So,
oh man,
it's going to be a. It's going to be different.
Well, don't you guys have – I heard you had timeout chairs, that when there's a timeout, they're going to roll chairs out, and then you sit down, and then they take the chairs, and then they clean them for the next timeout. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that. I do know that we're going to have assigned seats. So whatever seat you sit in to start the game, that's going to be your seat the entire game. And it's also – I saw, like, chairs, like – near the baseline.
Yeah.
And it was like four chairs. And it was like, if you want to have a conversation with one of your teammates or one of the coaches, you got to leave the bench and walk down there and sit in those chairs and talk. And then they clean them when you leave. And then whoever else needs to talk, they got to keep going down there. And I was just like, man.
That's why when people say, shit. You know, when they say, oh, there'll be an asterisk by this, whoever wins. And I said, it'll be tougher to win a title, it feels like, in the bubble than it would during a normal season.
No, I agree. I agree because I think it's a lot of things that guys are used to, you know, used to having that makes them comfortable, that makes them go, you know, like family, for example, or friends, or, you know, being able to go, having the freedom to go out to eat with your people and, you know, whatever it might be, being in the comfort of their own bed and at home, stuff like that, and it won't be there. And now you kind of isolated. All you have is basketball. You know, it's just, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be different. You know, it's forcing your mind to stay here. There's no fans. There's no home court advantage. So, I mean, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. It's almost like a, you know, you committing to just step away from your life and come here and focus on this for months. You know what I mean? Like, that's a tough thing to do.
What are you going to go with on the back of your jersey? Have you decided?
How many more?
Now, did they give you a number? Like, is there a set number or list that you could pick from?
I saw it was like a list of things that we could choose from. And I looked over them and I saw a lot of things that I would have been proud to wear on my jersey, but I chose how many more.
Well, I'll tell people to stay off our bandwagon here. So just
tell them to relax, man. Back up.
Well, I know. I'm going to downplay it. We're going to do this. I'm going to play it cool. And nobody's going to know about this. But good luck down there. And always great to talk to you. Thank you, Damian.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me, man.
All right. That's Damian Lillard of My Blazers. Shh. Don't tell anybody. Yeah, Barkley came out and said he loved the Blazers. There are a couple of guys who came out and said they loved the Blazers. Chris Mannix came out and said he loved the Blazers. And this is if they get in and they face the Lakers in the opening round. Some people think that they're capable of pulling off a surprise. I saw this. J.R. Smith, who usually isn't the guy that I go to when I'm trying to think rationally. But J.R. Smith can't believe that ESPN ranked Dirk Nowitzki ahead of Hakeem Olajuwon. And I saw that ESPN was ranking the top 10 foreign-born players in NBA history. And, Dirk's from Germany. Olajuwon was born in Nigeria. And I looked at the list here, and I agree with J.R. Smith. Dirk Nowitzki should be behind Hakeem Olajuwon. I think Olajuwon is the best foreign-born player. Then you can have Dirk in there, Patrick Ewing. Dominic Wilkins, I believe, is born in Germany. Steve Nash, Giannis, Pau Gasol, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Dikembe Mutombo. So that would be the list there. And look, Dirk had an unbelievable career, but Olajuwon with two titles. I know Dirk won one. Being an MVP, a finals MVP, 14-time All-Star. What is he, third in career points scored? Something like that. Let's say if we were starting a team and I could have Dirk or Olajuwon, I would take Olajuwon. But statistically speaking, Dirk Nowitzki, hard to argue with that resume with most, if not all, NBA players. Yeah, Paulie.
For some reason, I thought Tim Duncan was from the Bahamas or something, from St. Croix, which is a U.S. Virgin Island. So he would not make that list.
We could put him in there. But if I put him in there,
that's different.
He's going to be number one on the list.
Oh, you'd rather have Tim Duncan over Olajuwon?
No, he'll be on the. Oh. He'll be number one. I would take Olajuwon.
If they're both available.
But I'm saying ESPN would rank
right.
Tim Duncan one. If they've got Olajuwon two, then they're going to put Tim Duncan above Dirk Nowitzki. And then that would mean that Olajuwon would be three. But if you said, hey, you got Duncan, Nowitzki, or Olajuwon, I'll take Olajuwon. You can have the other guys, and I'm sure you'll do well, but I like Olajuwon too, the person. And I still go back to those championship years, and after every time they won a game, he would seek out Dr. Jack Ramsey, who was the analyst for ESPN. And he would come in to be interviewed, and he would immediately seek out Dr. Jack Ramsey and just say, you know, Jack, what did you see? You know, Dr. Jack, he'd call him. Dr. Jack, what did you see? And then, you know, Dr. Jack Ramsey would go, Hakeem, you got a head fake. Now, Dr. Jack would never go. He would never find you to give you information. If you sought him out and he was your sensei, your Mr. Miyagi, then he would tell you what he saw. But he would never do that because he wasn't rooting for anybody. But I always love that these players, you know, Dr. Jack forgot more basketball than I know. But they would seek him out and they'd want to know, what did you see? And Jack would always have something for them. And his big thing with Olajuwon was you can beat him off the dribble from the foul line. Like that was his big thing there. Yeah, McLevin.
By the way, save room on that list for a certain lefty-righty out of Melbourne, Australia. 76ers. The run that starts now. Ben Simmons could be on there. Actually, Luka could be on there.
Luka is going to be on there, I think, before your guy. Luka, that won't take too long. Maybe two more seasons, then he would be in there.
And how about Joel Embiid? He has a talent to get on.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. There's a lot of great foreign-born players. But ESPN ranking the top foreign-born players of all time. All right, we'll take a break. We'll update our poll results. Do you know your managers? Baseball starts tomorrow. Do you guys know who's managing these teams? No peeking. Have that for you coming up. We'll take a break. It's 19 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. It's sad that cyber criminals taking advantage of the coronavirus pandemic. They've sent malware to scam people trying to learn about cures for the disease. And once they get in and get your information, it's really tough to get your identity back. It's important to understand how cyber crime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put out so much information and we put it at risk on the internet. You can miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit, and that's why it's a great thing that there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. LifeLock will help you restore your identity easier than you can on your own. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses. LifeLock sees threats you might miss on your own. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year. Use the promo code Patrick. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Promo code Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. I was mentioning ESPN had their list of the top 10 foreign-born players. At Dirk Nowitzki, number one. Hakeem Olajuwon, two. I would flip those. I would have Hakeem number one. Ethan, our great stats guy who graduated from Harvard, just sent me a note that Dirk is the only player in NBA history with 1,000 three-pointers and 10,000 rebounds. Thank you, Ethan. Thank you so very much. Durant's going to be there, won't he? One day. Who else is going to be there with 1,000 threes and 10,000 rebounds? Luka would probably be there. Now, we're talking about somebody playing a long time, but trying to think who else would be. Vince Carter never got to 10,000 rebounds. I don't know if he was a rebounding guy. Yeah, Paul.
Durant's at about 6,000 rebounds for his career. He's got a ways to go. Yeah. He'd have to play to like 37.
Yeah, I got LeBron.
Yeah,
close.
LeBron, I would think, would be really close with three-pointers.
He's already got 9,300 rebounds, so he's going to get the 10,000 rebounds.
Does he have 1,000 threes?
I would guess so, but I not sure what that number usually looks like.
Hmm.
He's got to.
Maybe Ethan can get that for me. But, yeah, he's going to get to 10,000 rebounds.
That's a lot of rebounds. That's a harder part, I think, than
yeah.
the threes.
Yeah, yeah, Paulie.
LeBron has made 1,863s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And rebounds, he's at 9,300.
Yeah.
Assists, he's up there as well.
Is he going to be top five, top 10 in all three categories?
He'll be definitely top 10 in scoring and assists if he's not already. I think he's actually, I think he's there already.
Scoring and assist. Rebounds might be tough to be in the top 10 because you had guys, Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain, they would get 24, 25 rebounds a season. Yeah, McLovin.
I got one who's on, Mike make it, Kevin Love. He already has 1,000 threes. He's creeping up the rebound list.
I wonder where he ends up because he's not going to end his career in Cleveland, but he might be one of those guys that you pick up and he could be that fourth guy, a valuable fourth guy. But I don't know how much he has left. You know, when's the last time we... And I know he plays for the Cavaliers, but I don't know what his game is like anymore. Because he was a statistical machine with Minnesota, then goes to Cleveland, had to be the third option there. And then I don't even know what he is now. He's got to be dying to get out of Cleveland. With those young players... I go back to that highlight. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. And I think it was Colin Sexton who was just dribbling. And, you know, Love just wanted the ball to move a little bit. And then he was so frustrated with these young guys who are coming out of college and they're so used to, you know, hey, I get to take the shot whenever I want to. And here's Kevin Love, who's won a championship, been an all-star, and he's going, okay, come on. Can we stop the dribbling here, dude? Weston in Kansas City. Weston is called back after the bad connection. Hi, Weston.
Hey, Dan. Still 6'2 and 180. Sorry for the connection earlier. Quick happy birthday shout out to my mom. Couple quick questions for you.
Okay.
Where does Kansas City fit in the best title towns of the decade? We had the Royals for a minute, Chiefs, KU Hoops, that whole deal. And I was just at our local high school watching Mahomes throw to Kelsey. Poetry in motion. Beautiful. They're already getting a step up on Fritzy's Broncos. Suck it back, bro. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Weston, and happy birthday to your mom. Yeah. So I can give you Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals. Now you're bringing in KU basketball there. That's Lawrence, Kansas. But, yeah, all right. Bring him in. I don't know if anybody's said title town with Kansas City. But and I like the fact the Chiefs are talking about a dynasty. I do. And that why wouldn't you? I don't want you to go, no, we're just going to take it one year at a time. You got to be thinking big picture. Why wouldn't you? Yeah, Paul.
That's what I was thinking that, too, is that if you had to bet on the Chiefs this year, if I gave you the Chiefs and one other team, and you could take those two teams or the field for title. I know we do this a lot in August.
Yeah.
But if I threw the Chiefs and...
The Ravens?
Yeah, because someone whoever would knock off the Chiefs, you'd want.
Well, you could go Chiefs and Niners if you wanted to, but yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I get that uneasy feel with the Niners because I still go back to the playoffs where Kyle Shanahan is an obviously offensive-minded head coach, former offensive coordinator, and he had no problem staying with Matt Ryan and throwing the football in the Super Bowl. We know that it worked out, you know, in a horrible way for the Falcons, but he got to the postseason with Jimmy Garoppolo, and he didn't want to throw the football at all. At all. And I don't know if that moment was just too big for Jimmy Garoppolo or they thought it was too big for Jimmy Garoppolo, but I can't have a quarterback that I'm basing my offense on, or most teams are, and I'm afraid to send in a pass play. And I don't know. Like that told me an awful lot. And that's why the Niners were looking at Tom Brady. Now, whether it was just drive-by looking at Tom Brady, they were looking at him, and there's a reason. You have a team that's ready to win the Super Bowl. Should have won the Super Bowl last year. And they didn't let their quarterback be a quarterback. He was handing the ball off. Yeah, McLovin.
By the way, if we're going to count University of Kansas as a Kansas City team, can't we call it the number one seed and bow out in the Sweet 16 town?
Wow. 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 Wow, McLovin. Yes, Todd.
If you're not buying in on the Niners, you have your reservations. Who would you like? You're not ready to say Cowboys, Saints, Bucks.
I'm not going to say yet.
You got some time. Before you know it, though, 50 days.
But I make a prediction. That's when you make a prediction. I'm not doing it just because we, you know, have to fill some time here.
As Paulie said, no Danica Patrick. That team from Lambeau could sneak in there.
Well, I don't know if that.
I don't know if that factors.
Yeah, it doesn't. That was actually a private conversation. I think that he was a comment that he had. That now he'd bet on Aaron Rodgers to win the MVP.
Based off nothing.
Nothing. Other than he broke up with Danica Patrick.
Well, we don't know who broke up with who.
Yeah,
as a journalist.
I don't know. I don't know. Judging from her reaction on Twitter, sounds like he broke up with her. Yes, McLovin.
When do we get your prediction this year? What if they lop off the first 4 weeks of the season? Do you wait 4 weeks to give us
The night of the first game.
No matter when it is.
That Thursday, well, it'll be a Thursday, whether it's Thursday in September or October, then I'll give you my NFL picks. Because Vegas is waiting for this because the odds change, which is really a great compliment to me.
The board's going to change as soon as you make it?
Yeah, and that's why I don't want to do it now. Yeah, don't want to do it now. But if I gave you Kansas City and another team, or the field to win it all. Would you take Tampa? Yes, McLovin.
I mean, except for the Patriots, everybody turns over every year. There hasn't been a repeat. There are very few repeat Super Bowl teams.
Well, Baltimore's good.
They haven't. Yeah. Well, I don't think they're. Are they two?
Probably. Well, what are the odds? It's Kansas City and then Baltimore.
But I think that they might knock each other out. So somebody, you know, they have to play each other. So that makes it a worse pick.
But then you're guaranteed one of those two getting to the Super Bowl, it feels like. Unless you think the Titans, there's always an outlier. There'll be an outlier in the NFC and the AFC. There is every year. Somebody you think is going to be good is going to fall. Somebody you don't know is going to be that good is going to take a big leap. It happens every year. Yeah, Paul.
I have the updated odds to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
After the Chiefs, can anyone think they could go in order for the next three teams?
Baltimore.
Right?
Is there an NFC team that now comes into play?
A few of them. Quite a few of them.
I'll go Tampa, Dallas. Oh, the Niners.
You got Chiefs. You got Ravens. You have the Niners in the third spot.
Yeah.
Next up.
Cowboys?
Cowboys are sixth right now in the odds.
Are the Eagles ahead of the Cowboys?
They're almost even. Eagles are eight.
Okay. Oh.
Third spot is the Niners. Fourth spot is the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Fifth spot is Tampa.
Okay. Man, it makes me nervous, though. You know, Damian Lillard was saying, hey, we don't want anybody on our bandwagon because there are a lot of people on the Buccaneers bandwagon here. And they should be good. They were really close to being, a good team last year. But if the turnovers is what killed them. If Jameis Winston had Dak Prescott's year, then I wonder if Tom Brady is in Tampa. Oh, there's a hot take. Do you guys know your managers here? New managers in Major League Baseball? You guys should be aware of this. The American League, all right? The Boston Red Sox manager is, and just raise your hand, and no hands go up. Oh, McLovin.
Terry Francona.
No.
I'm kidding, I don't know.
Now, Paulie?
Recently, it was Alex Cora.
Ron Renicki.
Yep.
The Houston Astros new manager is...
Ron
Todd, Todd, you have to know this.
Todd, do you know who the manager
gotta
is?
Got to be either Bill Verdon or Hal Lanier.
That is, you cannot wear an Astros any gear. And I'm going to give you one more chance.
I'm honestly not sure who's currently
in the Oh, my God. You will not wear Astros gear this season.
Wow.
No, you don't even know their manager.
Jose Cruz.
Dusty Baker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I should know that.
Yeah, you should because they're your team.
It slipped my mind. The pressure of the moment.
Yeah, it slipped your mind.
That now it makes sense. Now I remember.
Thanks.
Too late now.
Yeah, I know. Kansas City Royals have a new manager. I believe a former Kansas City Royal.
Brett Saberhagen.
No. George Brett. No. Mike Matheny. The Los Angeles Angels.
This one we all should know.
Yes.
He was just on...
Todd?
That's Joe Madden.
Okay. Yeah, because you booked him as a guest.
It's the only reason. Man.
I know. The Chicago Cubs. Paulie knows this.
Ross.
David Ross. The Mets manager. I didn't know this one.
I know it because I did already look these up earlier, but actually he gets some play. He gets a lot.
What do you mean by that?
Like he gets talked about a lot. He gets talked a lot about on New York radio.
Okay.
I have no idea who he is or where he came from.
But he gets some play.
Yeah.
Luis Rojas. Rojas. The Phillies new manager. McLevin knows this. Anybody know? Joe Girardi. Pittsburgh Pirates. Nobody's getting this one. Yeah, Paulie.
I'll throw a Ron Gardenhire out there and just hope it sticks.
Gardenhire is with the Tigers.
Partial credit.
Gardy.
Yeah.
Derek Shelton is your manager with the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is my favorite one. The Padres manager. The Giants have a guy who used to be the Phillies manager.
I know that. Yeah, I knew that one.
Gabe Kapler. The Padres manager is Jace Tingler.
Of course.
Tingler.
Congratulations. Yes.
He beat out Gary Templeton for that job.
That's not true, Tom.
They did not.
And you shouldn't be involved in this. I didn't even know who your manager was.
Dusty Baker. It's terrible. Yeah. It's sad.
You're not an Astros fan. You're an Astros fan from the 80s.
I'm fake.
You are.
I am an Astros fan from the 80s.
That's it. Gabe in Rhode Island joins us. Hey, Gabe, what's on your mind?
Hey, DP. 6'1", an adolescent, 145. Okay. I was looking at the attendance numbers from last year, and Miami had, 300,000 less fans than everyone else overall for the entire season.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to pump in crowd noise once we get real crowds back just to make it seem like their attendance is a little bit more up there?
I would think that they don't have any crowd noise just to let the players feel comfortable that that's the way it sounds at their home games there. They'll be accustomed to that. You don't want them shocked, whoa, what was that? That's called applause. Anthony in Las Vegas. Anthony, what do you have for him?
Hey, DP. Hey. First time, long time. 5'10", 175. Just about to buy that Pittsburgh Blue Jays shirt because that is definitely going to be a collector's item. But I was going to talk to you about the J.R. Smith list thing from ESPN about the Fords.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think Hakeem Olajuwon is definitely number one. I like Dirk Nowitzki, but Hakeem was just he was something else. But I think Tim Duncan was a better player than Hakeem. I mean, they have a very similar career highlights and whatnot. They both were consensus first team All-Americans in college. But Tim Duncan won 5 championships against the Lakers team, and he only won against those without Michael Jordan. I mean, he won his MVP the same year that Michael Jordan left. And Tim Duncan won 3 MVPs when playing against the Lakers all those years. So I just think Tim Duncan's a little bit better.
All right. Well, thank you, Anthony. Turn down your radio next time. This is just personal preference. If you said I was starting my team and you could have Duncan, Dirk, or Olajuwon, I'm taking Olajuwon. But, yeah, Tim's got an unbelievable resume. But I'm looking at, is it resume or is it the talent of the player you have? And Olajuwon, to me, was one of the rare exceptions of a big man who had the footwork of a guard. Because he played soccer growing up. I didn't think Hakeem had a weakness. He was a great defensive player. And, you know, Duncan didn't want to be listed as a center. He's listed as a forward, even though there were times, a lot of those times where he was a center. But he just didn't want to be listed that way. Because if you're a center, he's not the greatest center of all time. But he's considered the greatest power forward of all time. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, and we'll try to do all of that. Plus, I think hot dogs on the Traeger, National Hot Dog Day. You guys got it so rough. I don't know how you guys show up every day.
Well, we did have to wait until the show was almost over.
You did have to wait two and a half hours to get the hot dogs. You're right, man.
I mean,
I don't know how you do it, but you somehow overcome all of these obstacles. All right, we'll take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. That's okay, guys. I'll do the show. You don't have to rush back eating hot dogs. Does a hot dog ever taste any better than at the ballpark? You have a beer and a hot dog. It's just at a picnic is pretty good too. But if you go to a ballpark and you have a dog, it's just something about that dog tastes pretty good.
What's your policy when they have to pass it down? It's as long as it's rolled up.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I would go with it. You know, maybe not these days, but normally, if it's less than five dudes, I wouldn't mind if it was handed down to me. Let's put it that way. No wrapper.
No wrapper.
Yeah, I mean...
No.
You were the ball gamer.
I don't want, you know, Skippy handing it down to me. And then Tommy and Johnny and right. Mikey and, yeah, who knows where they've been. Hey, I just got back from the boys' room. Hey, who's got the dog here?
No, thanks. Yeah.
You got to not think about it.
Ethan just sent me a note. The 2010s were the first decade in the Super Bowl era without a repeat Super Bowl champ. The 03-04 Patriots, the last to do so. I don't know if they've done a statistical dive on that, on the reason for that. You know, there's usually a lot of turnover. But, you know, you would think that you would be able to, if somebody was going to do it, that the Patriots would have been able to do it. Even though they had that turnover, you still had sort of the main people always in place there. John in Syracuse joins us on the program. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
First off, I have to argue with you. I think high school football game hot dogs are high quality.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, 6'1", a very nose guardish 295. I'm calling because last night at dinner table, I asked my wife and family how they felt about me spending $86 on a cardboard cutout of me at Citi Field. And I didn't get a hard no from the wife. I was wondering if the fellas and you could kind of chime in and help me make a decision on
wow.
that.
Wow. Okay, so explain it to us, John, that for $86, the Mets will put
your... they will put a picture of you, a cardboard cutout of you in a seat at Citi Field for the season.
Oh, the entire season. Do you get to pick where you're going to be, your cardboard cutout is situated?
I don't know the logistics of it. It was kind of I wanted to float it out there and see if I got a, are you serious, from my wife? And I didn't. I got a look, but it wasn't a hard no. So I was just looking for some input. A buddy of mine was like, do it. We're all in. You're not going on vacation. So why not do it?
Yeah, I think when she gives you a look, it's a begrudging yes. But yeah, I would go for it. But I would want to know where my cardboard cutout's going to be. Like, how many cardboard cutouts are there going to be there? Because you could get lost in that sea, and then you'd be spending the 86, and nobody would know. I like that it's 1986, maybe, with the Mets, and $86. Yes, Todd?
I think if it's visible and it's behind home, or it's going to somehow be picked up in the broadcast, then it's worth it. But $86 just to be somewhere out in the outfield or somewhere in the stands where, like you said, it's going to get caught in a mix of a bunch of fathead giant faces, $86, I don't know. I'd want it to make sure that it's getting some kind of a visual recognition.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Stay in sports history.
Todd has wanted to follow up on that point of his. No, just kidding. This day in sports history, Dan, Ty Cobb stole three bases in one inning. That's pretty impressive, on two different at-bats. Okay, here's one. In 1926 at Mitchell Field in New York, Babe Ruth caught a ball that had been dropped from an airplane flying at 250 feet. Not a lot of pictures of the event, but supposedly it happened. Hmm. 1962, Jackie Robinson became the first African-American to be inducted in the National Baseball Hall of Fame.
Okay. Final results of the poll question there, McLovin.
What was the poll? Oh, we actually never went to it. We teased it. Would you want to buy a $2 billion MLB or NBA team if you had $5 billion? 54% said yes. Very close poll. A lot of people didn't want it.
Once again, Zion is not back with the team in the bubble. We checked in with the Pelicans. They said that they don't have a set date for him when he's going to return, although they're going to know more information in the coming days. He left due to a family emergency. His quarantine period and return to play status will be determined by the NBA based on league protocol. This according to the Pelicans. Just trying to get him back, and you know, he's got to go through quarantine and then to try to, he's in great shape, but you know, they got a few games to play, trying to then extend their season a little bit. And you know, the NBA desperately wants Zion in there for as many games as possible. But as it is right now, on the outside, looking in. McLovin gave me this tweet yesterday. He said, this is from Football Perspective, I guess. Is that who sent this out?
Yeah, I actually didn't know the website.
Okay. If the 2020 NFL season was canceled and you were the Buffalo Bills, would you forfeit all of your other 2021, 2022, 2023 draft picks to have the number one pick in the 2021 draft and take Trevor Lawrence? So what you're saying is, would you want to stay with Josh Allen, your quarterback? Is that what we're...
Would you make a huge sacrifice to get Trevor Lawrence and in the process give up on Josh Allen? Because Josh Allen's still a question mark, where Trevor Lawrence feels like the next, I don't know, Andrew Luck.
I don't want to give up all my drafts for three drafts to get Trevor Lawrence.
The Bills happen to be loaded with young first-rounders everywhere. So maybe they have enough talent to make a run without those drafts. No, I know. It's a lot.
I would stay with Josh Allen. Like, there's no guarantee with Trevor Lawrence. I know that he's supposed to be the next, but Josh Allen has the potential to be a really good quarterback. And he's shown that, but it's just potential right now. But I wouldn't be giving up all my draft picks.
But if you look at the league, if you get that quarterback, if you get a Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, you have 10 years of playoffs ahead. So that's sort of the goal, is to get a guy like that.
But do you realize how many teams passed on guys that could have changed their fortunes? You may have that with Josh Allen. Maybe he is going to be that really good quarterback. So I would stay with Josh Allen instead of giving up all my draft picks for Trevor Lawrence. I don't know how people voted on this. Did they have a vote on that, McLovin, on this question?
Yeah, 58% said no, 20% said yes, and 22% were undecided.
Hmm. Well, you can't be undecided. You have to either say yes or no. Like, did they give you undecided as an option?
They need more time.
Yeah.
The third category says just checking results.
Oh.
So the poll was yes or no, but you have to click one of them to see the results. Yeah. I've never seen a poll like that. That's honest.
Todd, what did I learn today?
He said you can't go wrong with either, but Damian Lillard would vote for LeBron over Greek Freak for NBA MVP.
No, you know what I learned?
That I don't know the Astros manager.
Didn't know that Dusty Baker was the manager of your team.
Once you said it, then I remember.
LegalZoom. LegalZoom isn't a law firm. You don't have to leave your home. They don't charge you by the hour. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. And remember, you need to make it legal. Make it LegalZoom.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show.